Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Always glad when you take the time to listen to the show. Episode 1999. How about that? Today, we're going old school. We're playing Walt Disney World odds makers. We're giving some odds on things that we think may happen in the next little bit here at Walt Disney World, like the Skyliner expanding to Disney Springs. What about ESPN returning as ESPN over at the Boardwalk? Do we think the dining plan will return by next September? This and more coming your way on today's show. Don't forget, today's episode always brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We'd love to help you out with your next Disney vacation. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online, especially during this holiday season. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, thank you sincerely to our patrons who support this show each and every month through the Patreon program. Our patrons get a bonus show called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. If you'd like to support the show on Patreon, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1999 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. And we are going to dedicate this episode to the late, great Prince from up in Paisley Park, Minnesota. It is episode 1999. And just let me tell you, it's kind of fun because episode 2000 is going to land on a Monday. We did not plan this out. I did not do anything special. And we're going to have just kind of a special trip report on Monday, just as we've always done. So nothing really out of the ordinary for episode 2000. We're just going to plug along as we always have. But next week, we're going to kind of just look back over 2000 episodes of the Be Our Guest podcast. But if you really know how this podcast works, if you go to BeOurGuestPodcast.podbean.com, you'll see with all of our April Fool's shows and all of our old live call-in shows, they were actually at about episode 2094 or something like that right now. We've done more than 2000. But anyway, it's kind of fun hitting these benchmarks. And today, yes, we're going to do one of the old school shows that we probably did 10 years ago. And actually, we ripped it off from WDW Today back in the day, too. So it's no big deal. We're going to have a good time. And this one's interactive, so we can carry it on Sunday night onto the live call-in show. And we can also play with this on social media, too. We're going to play WDW Odds Makers because, hey, if you've been listening to the shareholder calls lately, Chapek, right? That's the guy that's doing all the talking, right? He says that Disney's
Cheapskate, as I like to call him, but that's fine.
Keep your opinion to yourself. But apparently Disney's all in on betting, right? And Scott Gardner's very happy about that, I think. Dude bets on anything that moves. I'm just saying.
Oh, my gosh.
I love Scott. He's so funny. We've bet on horses that were in Asia, like eating dinner at Olivia's one time down in Florida.
Oh,
it was kind of fun on a phone. I was like, go. Does that horse have three legs? I don't know. I don't think I'm going to win.
Know,
it was crazy.
Let's go.
It was the weirdest thing ever. So anyway, we're going to have a good time. Ricky joining me today from down in the Peach State. What's going on, Ricky?
Okay, so I would just like to say a big thank you to, and I'm so sorry, I do not remember your names, and I tried to look you guys up on Instagram because I know you tagged me and I couldn't find it, but a big thank you to the family who stopped me at the Disney Marius Nights. Here's the scary thing, Mike. They said it was a mom and dad and their two girls, and they said that the daughters have been listening to us since they were little, and they were definitely like teens and 20s at that point. I was like, no,
we're old. I know it's a WS user, and they're from Washington State. Go,
that's
Cougs.
It. Yes. Thank you. I was trying to find them, and I was like, I can't find them anywhere. And I was looking, so that's them. Thank you. Thank you. And they stopped me and they said hello, which was very nice and also made me feel incredibly old. So.
I know. So I've told the story, right? The first person that ever asked me in a park to get a picture, this was like way back in the day. It was over at Epcot. It was in Norway. Two sisters, Bonnie and Kristen. And I remember like my wife about died when somebody asked if I was Mike and they could get their picture. The one, Kristen, she's not an orthopedic surgeon in Florida.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know.
That's awesome. I'm ancient.
Yes, yes.
Well, you know, speaking of our 2000 shows, the first person who asked me for a picture is actually Michelle Camber and her daughter, Sam. So.
Who is now just studying overseas
now,
in England.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
We're so old. Anyway, joining me today, the ageless wonder. She hasn't aged at all. Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. What's up? A little extra on the check this week. What's going on, Pam?
Oh, wow. Yes, right? I'm aging as we speak, as we are in the home stretch of my house finishing
yes.
up.
Oh, God, yeah.
All I can say is Windows. What the heck?
Who needs Windows? You just got Saran Wrap. I mean, that's
right?
What we do in Missouri.
I know. At this point, I'm like willing to like board it up until the Windows come. So yeah, that has been our challenge. But we are so thankful to be working with a builder who drove over to state over to get our Windows for us. And I mean, truly, like went and did that. So I don't even know what to say. I owe people big though. So
yes.
Anyway, but it's coming to a close. Yeah. So
awesome.
I'm glad. I'll be glad to be there.
But then the chaos starts though when you got to
right?
move.
Right. No, but at least it's my chaos
yeah, that's
instead
true.
Of, you know, whatever
my,
else we got going
moving,
on.
Moving though is my nightmare. Oh, I still remember that from a couple of years. I'm just not a mover. I'm a stayer.
I'm with you. I don't want to move anymore either. So oof. Yeah.
It's stressful. We had everything we owned on one U-Haul truck. That was not pretty. It was crazy. Anyway, we're not talking about moving. We're talking about Disney. We're going to play some odds makers today. So let me kick it off and see how we're going to do this. So here's what we're going to do. One person is going to throw out odds. We're going to throw down the line, as they call it, on a possible scenario happening. And then the other two kind of have to give the over, the under, if they think it's going to happen. Okay, so here's what we're going to say. Here's my first one. I'm going to say that there is a 75% chance that the Skyliner will run from Caribbean Beach Station to Disney Springs by 2026.
Ooh.
Okay, so that gives a little time to get, you know, get the fiscals going, get kind of post-COVID, get the construct, because it takes a little bit to construct, but it didn't take that long to construct. It probably took 2 years, and it didn't take that long, and you're not really, I don't think it would take that long. So 2026, you get the Skyliner connecting to Disney Springs. Now, it could go anywhere else, but I'm talking, I think Disney Springs is the next goal. It has its pluses and it has its minuses, right? Because it takes you to retail, you can spend a lot of money, but then also you have a lot of people that could try to park at Disney Springs and get around, like, you know, get into the bubble.
But if the hub is at, you know, the Caribbean Beach, it's a little less likely that they would do that. But I get what you're saying.
But you're getting inside the bubble there without paying to park. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, you try. There's always that. We all know as Disney fans.
But you can do. I mean, if you really wanted to do that, you can figure out a way to do that.
Oh, there's a way to do it, but that'd be an easy way. Okay, so I'm laying 75%. Chance that happens by 2026. So, Ricky, are you going to go above 75% or below 75% that'll happen by 2026?
Gosh, I want to be positive and say above, but I think it's going to be below. I think there's probably a 65% chance.
But you're giving it odds greater than not happening that by 2026 we'll have a Skyliner to Disney Springs.
I think that because again, and you know, it gets people to shopping and dining quicker. So obviously there's a benefit to having it go there. So I think that Disney Springs above all places is probably one of the places that has a better shot at it. Let's put it that way. It would either be there or Animal Kingdom. But I think because of the ability to spend money, I think Disney Springs would be the better option. So yeah, I think there's a chance that I could go to Disney Springs by 2026. Yeah.
I think Disney Springs or Coronado are the two, like, no brainer. Okay.
Oh well, yeah. Coronado. That's true too. Yeah.
Disney Springs financially, I think, makes more sense, but Coronado, let's jump over to Pam though. Get 75% out of 2026 Skyliner going to Disney Springs. Give some thoughts.
So here's the thing. I was thinking, I can see it going to Disney Springs. I don't know that it'll connect through Caribbean Beach though.
Oh.
I'm wondering if it will connect maybe, near that Epcot line. 'Cause that seems like it could be a more sort of direct way to get to Disney Springs there if it sort of goes back by that. But I'm with you, Mike. I'm like 75. I'll go 76.
Oh, there you go. I like this optimism because I love
$1. I'm going $1. Higher, like we're on the Price is Right.
Right.
Well, see, but here's the thing. You know, Disney runs all kinds of guest surveys, right? I mean, they're the number one. Like that,
they
survey people to death. And as travel agents, I mean, we get a lot of like informal data, right? I mean, I see it because I get the questions from guests, and I see because many times we present different scenarios for vacations, right? Somebody's looking to go on a value vacation. So we will price out All-Star Music. We'll price out Art of Animation in a Little Mermaid suite. Then we might throw out like Caribbean Beach in a pirate room or something. You know, we got to keep it, you know, within a budget, you know, a little bubble there. But the thing is, when we come back to the bookings, I'm telling you what, the Skyliner is overwhelmingly the decision maker, and it is for me too all the time. Like I was at Coronado twice, and the last two times I've been at Coronado I switched to Pop Century at the last chance because of the skyliner.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all. Actually, I think it's a good choice. I know before COVID shut the world down, I know that they were planning on expanding the Skyliner, plain and simple, but you know, obviously that shut down those plans rather rapidly. So, I mean, hopefully they dust them off and we see some expansion with that, because I know that that is something that they really do want to expand in the future. So
I would personally go to Disney Springs a lot more with the Skyliner, especially like a Skyliner from Coronado to Disney Springs.
If it was easy.
Because, like, I mean, like Pam mentioned it on Wednesday, like Disney Springs has it going on. You could just go there for a night to just, you know, pick up some Sprinkles cupcakes or some Ghirardelli ice cream and watch the live entertainment and stroll around. And I mean, it until you use the Skyliner, it is shockingly fast as to where you get to where you need to be. Because, I mean, even now, like the buses are okay to Disney Springs, but the bus stops, like say you're at World of Disney or you're back like at Once Upon a Toy. Like, it's a hike to get out.
It is so far.
If you're at a value, I mean, okay, if you're staying at Beach Club, you don't have to go all the way around, like, the third loop to get to that bus. But, I mean, it's way over there. If you're like, trust me, I'm always usually at Pop. And, I mean, it's a hike over there. So, if, like, I had a Skyliner just dropping me off, boom, right there, oh, my God, I'd be there all the time. I would go there probably twice as much every trip. And then, you know, if you go to Disney Springs, you're always spending money. You're either buying food, you're buying merchandise, or you're, you know, doing something.
Yes.
I
mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, okay. Anyway, so that was mine. So I kicked it off. Okay. Ricky, give us one. Let's go with that.
All right. Kind of throwing back to what I mentioned on Wednesday. What do you think the odds are that ESPN, the restaurant at the Boardwalk, is going to reopen as ESPN? When it finally reopens. So,
well, you got to give a number. See, this is like the old days. Like, you still don't know how this game works a decade later.
I'm still going. Okay. All right. I'm going that I think there's a 75% chance that it will reopen as ESPN, but the delay has me concerned. So I'm thinking maybe, you know, they got rid of Ample Hills. So obviously there was reasons behind that. But, you know, like, I'm just saying.
You're just trying to hurt my heart is what it was.
I know. But, I mean, it's a place that could use an update. ESPN's, the restaurant's a little dated. Let's just be perfectly honest. So the restaurant could use an update. So what do you think, Mike? I say 75% that it reopens as ESPN.
I say 95% just because, again, it's a Disney property. I mean, it's perfect. Like, I mean, the thing is, it is utterly ridiculous that it is closed right now during football season. I mean, it is right now. That place is like printing money. I mean, that's one of those places that I am very against, like, raising prices. But you could charge I would pay $20 for a burger at ESPN. As long as, because the thing is, you're not paying for the burger. You're paying for the opportunity to sit in a seat to watch my favorite team play for 3 hours and drink expensive beers and sodas and expensive apps. Like, you're paying for the opportunity. And they did this because, like, I remember Phil Scheingold. He totally saved my skin. One time we were down there with Paige, and Paige was a huge, she still is a huge soccer fan, and World Cup was going on. and somehow Phil, with all of his connections, got us like a sweet table for World Cup right in the middle of ESPN. And so we got to watch the World Cup game. And the thing was, you had to like reserve the table. There was like a minimum buy-in, but that's totally fine because you're not the thing. I mean, we get these questions constantly. Like, where do I watch the big game when I'm there? Yes. Because people are so loyal to their teams, whether it's college or NFL or what have you, World Cup, things that come up. I just think like, and I mean, ESPN is one of the major brands of Disney. This, I think they should, you know, have two or three of these places on property. It's crazy.
I mean, agreed. I'm surprised that, to be honest, that it's at the Boardwalk and not at, say, a Disney Springs, to be perfectly
honest. They should have one. It wouldn't hurt to have one either. Both places.
Yeah. Have, you know, I mean, ESPN too.
The Deuce.
Oh, wait, they could have it. They could have the one at the Boardwalk. The Ocho.
Yeah, exactly. They have eight of them. Yeah, the Ocho is over at Art of Animation.
Exactly. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Yeah, what do you think?
So I'm going to go just a little lower. Because here's why. First of all, ESPN is huge.
Yes.
That is a huge, huge space. And I will tell you, it was even before the pandemic, it was not highly visited.
That's kind of my thought. Yeah.
I mean, you could walk into ESPN Club anytime, any day. Yes. You know what I mean? So that's what makes me hesitate a little bit.
That was just my hesitation too. Yes.
I know. Okay. Just yes. That. And the food wasn't bad. It just wasn't anything.
It's Applebee's. I mean, it's what it
good.
Is.
It wasn't anything good.
It's Applebee's. Yes, yes.
So if they do reopen it as ESPN, I hope that they do take the time to absolutely zhuzh because it needs it. It really needs it. It really, really, really needs it. And secondly, we need a new menu with something that's more creative than what we had before. So I'll go just a little bit lower and say maybe 70%. I'm still thinking it might, but they need to do some stuff. And you know what? Disney has been taking the opportunity with some downtime to improve some things. So I hope that this is on the list of things that get improved because it needs it.
I agree with that, though. They have been. That is one thing that I got to give Disney credit for is these hotels and things have been
closed.
They have refurbished a lot of things in that downtime, which they could have let them sit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That's good. Okay, Pam, give us your proposition here.
Okay. All right. So what are they? So here's what I'll say. In the next 2 years, I think that we are 60% likely to see an announcement of a brand new hotel.
Ooh.
So we have Galactic Star Cruiser still announced, being built, almost done. March, it's going to be open. Okay, so that's a new hotel, but that's kind of a boutique. Like, that's not really kind of like a pop century. So you're talking like more of a general. We had Swan Reserve open this past week, so that's kind of a different experience too. We're talking like a
Disney official resort hotel.
60% chance in how long? What did you say?
2 years. Two years.
Ooh.
So just announce, though, because obviously it would take a while.
Just announce, yeah, because it will take longer.
Yeah, it'll take longer to build. Okay.
Okay, Ricky, you go first.
It really is going to depend on COVID, to be honest. If you would have asked me this a month or two ago before they said that they weren't opening up some of the hotels, like, you know, the All-Stars, I would have said probably an 85% chance. I'm going to go 80. And the reason being is because they really have that space available in between, you know, the Wilderness Lodge and Fort Wilderness. And they had already announced that it was coming. And then obviously they announced that it was not. So that is already like, that space is already earmarked for a hotel. So I say, you know, there's an 80% chance that we're going to see something come and, you know, get announced in the next 2 years there. So.
Yeah, I'm also going to take the over on that, over the 60%, just because, again, what are we seeing right now? We're seeing it's impossible to find a room on property at Christmas week. We're finding that for Princess Half Marathon weekend. We're seeing challenges for Marathon weekend. So obviously, right now the demand is super high. I mean, again, Disney has to forecast, will that demand be there five? Because when you build a hotel, it doesn't go away. It's there for decades.
Right.
And so it's one of those things, like, I guess you can't build to the surge, you know, to the surge in demand. But you also don't want to turn away people that you want to have enough capacity to accommodate guests at all times. But I would say, you know, that's kind of what they do. But here's the question I would have for you, Pam. Okay, so I would say, I would give it above. I'd probably go 75% if I had to guess in the next couple of years. But, okay, let's kind of all go this way real quick. Kind of just throwing this out for a second since we've gone around once. The next Disney hotel that is announced, will it be a moderate, a value, or a deluxe? Or let me throw another one out there. Will it be some new category, kind of like a hybrid? Like they just kind of chuck that three category model out the window. What do you think about that? But Payne, what do you think? Because I mean, this is kind of up your alley.
We could really use another moderate.
We could.
We really could. I think that it can be a moderate like Grandestino, though. Like it can be something like that. It can be a high rise. It can offer more amenities, and it can be priced a little higher than a typical moderate. And I think that that's a sweet spot for a lot of people, that they, you know, enjoy that. I think that a lot of people eventually move up, you know, experiencing the different categories of the Disney resorts. But I think a new moderate is not something, a brand new one is not something we've seen in quite a while. It really isn't. Mm-hmm. And I think that we could really use one. I really do. So I hope it's that. I hope it's that.
What about you, Ricky? What do you think? I like that idea, though.
I think a moderate is needed. What do I think they're going to build? I think they're going to build another deluxe or DVC. You know, I just think that that's what they have their focus on. And that's what they're going to keep building. You know, that the Grandestino, I think, was kind of a outlier in a way. Like, they knew they had to update, you know, Coronado, but I feel like they really did it to appeal to that business traveler, since that was a business hotel in the first place. So what I would like to see is a moderate like Grandestino. What I think they're going to do is a deluxe or DVC slash DVC. I think that that's where they are comfortable building at this point. I don't think that they want to build anything that's not deluxe slash DVC.
See, here's why I love our chat. And I love that we can always have these conversations with our podcast. And we have, you know, since we've been doing this so long, we have the audience that's so wide, and we have, you know, it's just great to have a large audience so you can get all kinds of different views. And Mike is in our live chat right now joining us, and he says, enough high end, if you ask me, it's getting so expensive. And here's what I think Universal's doing right, right? Okay, yeah. So if you want to look at what's happening in Central Florida, get direct competition with like Endless Summer and Dockside and all the, you have kind of these, how would you describe those, Pam? They're even a step kind of below like a Pop Century. They're almost like ultra values, or, you know, they're
probably
nice.
In terms of amenities and the things that are available at that resort, they're probably on the same category as Pop Century. The issue, I think, that is that the transportation options and where they're located.
Yeah,
with Universal, everything is so walkable.
Yeah,
every resort is very walkable. And I think that that's just where it is. But yes, Universal has done a bunch. But the other thing that they have is that the people that are staying at their deluxe resorts are going to get access to Universal Express Pass for their whole stay. And, you know, that's something that always gets pushed back from the Disney community, right? Anytime something is charged for, the Disney community fusses about it. But it's been that way with Universal for a very long time. Their more expensive hotels, they have access to what is basically a fast pass like system for every attraction all the time. Just about every attraction. There's a few that don't have it. But so just consider that. Those are the things that happen. When you add more on the low end, you also have to entice people to stay at your higher end, and there may be changes in that spot. So something to consider.
Yeah, it's just, it is so difficult, right? I mean, I know that Disney is trying to appease everybody, you know, not just the traveler. They're trying to appease the, the shareholders and all this. And they got to justify, you know, they want to make as much money as they can per guest. They got to show all that, you know, in the reports and all that. So I get it, but I also think it's hard. It would be great. It would be a great PR move, like for a family like mine, to build like another value hotel and say, look, we know, like, It's been a few years, man. It's been a little rough. Let's get you down to Walt Disney World. But then that goes against everything that we've been hearing coming out of the Disney company for the last couple of
years. I agree with that, too.
It'd be a great PR coup, you know, to build another possibility.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, and the fact is that people are staying there. I mean, they do not have a lack of people that are coming.
Yeah, and I think about, I don't know. I just love Pop Century. I mean, it's just, you know, I could stay, you know, shorter at Deluxe, but I'd rather stay at Pop Century longer. That's just what I do. So that's just kind of how we throw it down. Okay, let's go a little bit lightning time because we got about 10 minutes left in the show. So I'm going to give this one. I'm going to put 70% odds that we get back all parades at all parks by the 4th of July, 2022.
Okay, wait. All parks that had parades
that
before?
Had parades, like normal, like normal times, like Festival of Fantasy.
That's only the Magic Kingdom.
Well, didn't Animal Kingdom have a parade? No, they didn't have a parade anymore.
No, nope,
they had some
away
kind of a parade.
Ago.
They didn't
it
have
did
parade.
Go away a while ago.
Okay,
and Hollywood Studios, they took away their parade too. Yeah, so
it's been so long, I can't remember that there were parades.
Well, that's just the Magic Kingdom. Yeah, so the Magic Kingdom has a parade.
What? Tapestry of Dreams went away?
What?
Tapestry of Nations? I love that parade. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so Festival of Fantasy.
Okay. What did you say?
I'm going to give it 70% chance it's back by the 4th of July.
I'm going to give it... Gosh, I'm going to give it probably a 95% chance. And here's why. Having just been to Disneyland, they had their very first parade, official, like full parade, this past week. And kind of the cool thing about Disneyland is they offer their Christmas parade all season. So it's not just during the Christmas party. You do get one during the Christmas party, but they offer it during the day too. So the fact that they can offer a full parade right now at Disneyland, and let me tell you, it was packed for that parade. Like, so granted, I was there the first day of the
and
parade.
You're short,
but like,
so you probably didn't see anything.
I didn't even stop because I was like, I can't see squat. They were 4 deep, and I'm not joking. Like, they were legit 4 deep. I was like, I can't see. Like, there's no reason for me to stop and watch this parade because I can't see it. Short girl problems. I mean, the fact of the matter is, like, they stopped and waited for, I mean, they waited for this parade for a long time. So I can guarantee you that parades are going to be back at the Magic Kingdom. But what I would love to see is what they did here, because they also had cavalcades that still took place. So they had a cavalcade in the middle of a couple times in the middle of the afternoon. I actually saw it. It was a brand new cavalcade, kind of a winter time cavalcade for at Disneyland. And then in the evening, because they do their parade at night, since it's the Christmas parade, they do it like 5:30. So then they did the full parade then. So I would like to see that kind of combination where they still do the cavalcades for the people like me who don't like parades and enjoy like the short little parade thing, and then still do a regular parade and later for the 3 o'clock parade. So that's what I would like to see them do. Okay. And not just the parade that, like, you know, that Move It, Shake It, Celebrate It one time, you know, that thing. I would like to see multiple different kinds of little cavalcades.
Right, like a theme parade. Yeah, like they've always had like a theme parade at the Magic Kingdom, like, you know, for the celebration for the year.
But I don't want just that one. I want the multiple like they were doing before.
Right.
That's what I want. Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right, Pam, do you think we'll have it back by the 4th of July?
Yeah, I'm leaning towards, what did you say, Mike? What was your prediction?
I said like 70%. I'd give it like 7 out of 10.
All right, so I'm going to be more like 75 on this one, because I do think that we're going to see that. I think that they, you know, that people are looking for that, that people like that interaction. There's a group of folks that do like it, that I guess they like sitting there on the curb. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Yeah, I don't get it. I was like, you guys are sitting here on Main Street in Disneyland. for hours.
I know.
Sprayed. Okay.
I know. Locals. I know. But, you know, I do understand that. I mean, I remember when Hannah was young, we absolutely waited for parades because they were one of her favorite things. It was just a great time to interact with the characters and to, you know, I mean, to little kids in particular, that's so cool to see all those people they've only seen in movies or on television or things like that. So that's where I'm sitting on that. Yeah, for sure.
All right. So, Ricky, do you want to take Diane's? I don't know if you have one, but
Diane, I actually
asking,
do have one.
Okay, go ahead.
So,
go with yours.
Okay, all right. So bars. I think that there is a 50% chance that for the D23 Expo, when they announce, which happens, what, next year, right? Next year.
I don't know. I'm never up on the D23 stuff.
Well, hang on. Okay, so I think by the next D23 Expo, they will have a 50% chance that they will have some sort of replacement for the NBA experience.
God, I hope so.
I think there's a 50% chance. I don't know if they're gonna, because it seems like it's such a huge building and they did all this work for nothing, basically, because it closed so quickly. So I hope that there's a 50% chance that we have some sort of announcement for the replacement of the NBA experience. Yeah, what do you think, Mike?
That's Disney Spruce Goose right there. That's the thing that flew one time and never flew.
I know,
again.
Right?
And like, I know Jennifer listens here, and Jocelyn, her daughter, love the NBA experience. She listens right down the road in O'Fallon, Missouri. I know that was her jam.
I would have liked to have experienced it. I didn't even have a shot.
We hardly knew ye. It was just a big old place next to the poorhouse.
I know.
Yeah, the thing is, I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily, I give it less than 50%. I'm going to go like 30%. And here's why. I think it's more, if they, it was just like that they could just put something in there and design it, I think that's easy. But I think the thing is, you got to find the right partnership in these days, right? You got to find somebody that's willing to take on a building.
That big building.
To partner to pay that rent.
Because you know that Disney is not going to do something on their own for that building.
I doubt
they are
it.
Definitely
I doubt
partnering.
It's probably, because it's huge. It's probably a partnership. So.
Oh, yeah. 100%. I mean, they have to partner with somebody on this
that's
one.
What
so.
I'd say 30%.
Yeah.
I'd go lower. I don't know. Pam, what do you think?
Hmm. Arguments on both sides, very interesting. I may go just a little lower too, for the reasons that you all have mentioned. I think that there are many businesses who are doing well, but struggling to recover what they lost.
Yeah.
And so even if they're having, you know, a good year or a good, you know, season, I think that businesses also learned things from that and are being a little more cautious with that. And I think that it's hard to make a space that big a slam dunk kind of thing.
Yes!
Hey, look at that guy.
Yes.
I was trying to deadpan it and deliver that. No, but it is. It's such a huge space. And just to have it from the gun, just be like, this is a place that we want to go. We're willing to pay, you know, to get in it. You know, this is some place that we want to visit. I think what they're going to need to do, and I think it's something that they tried to do with the NBA experience, but it just, you know, it didn't really have a chance. Let's be honest.
No.
Is that they're going to need to pull in the locals.
Yes.
To want to experience this. And it's going to need to be something that has repeatability.
Yes.
Repeatability. So that's why I'm going just a little lower, because I think we're just going to see the caution there from, you know, these companies and Disney for sure.
And the problem is it is such a huge building. I mean,
It's massive.
So big, and that's part of its downfall, you know, in a weird way. It's just the size of that building is way too massive for, you know, anything real, lot of things, really.
So,
I mean,
Virgin Megastore was huge back in the day. That thing just sold CDs and records. Okay, here's the thing. Mike's 50% of the way with me in the live chat. The thing needs to be an Apple store. I've been saying this for a decade. Make the thing.
But that's too big for an Apple store. Dude,
Apple stores are huge. I went to one that was in Chicago. It was enormous. And then you split it in half and make the other half an all-day breakfast place. And you're set.
I mean, I do like the all-day breakfast place idea, yes. I mean, that is my idea, so I'm going to go with that. But, you know.
It's an Apple store slash diner. Like, but you got to keep the syrup away from the electronics.
You got to keep the syrup away from the electronics. Yeah. No, it's just... That's what shoots that place in the foot, though, is the, it is such a big building, and It is.
It's so big. It's cavernous.
It is huge.
And when Disney rebuilt it, and I saw how it was almost the same size as what they had had before.
Yeah, like, it was. I actually did get to experience it, so... It was large. It continued to be large.
I don't know. It's something... massive is going to have to go in there, and it's going to have to be some sort of huge partnership for 100%.
All right, Pam's got the last one. Pam, what do you got?
I'll do Diane's Good. Question. Was it Good. Diane that had
yes.
it?
Yes.
Okay. So a prediction that the meal plan will return by September of 2022. I'm going to say 85%.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised you're...
Yeah.
That low? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know that that's high still, but I'm surprised you're that low on it. Huh.
Okay, well, go ahead, Ricky. What would you say? Obviously, you're going above that. What would you give it? Put a number. So you're above 85.
I think I am. I think I'm going to go with probably like 92%. I know, odd number there. It's an even number, but you know. I think that... It's going to depend on, obviously, the workforce and what they can do. But the restaurants are so packed, and the dining plan was a way to fill the restaurants. So it's going to depend on how the restaurants keep doing as we move forward. Because people are still dining like crazy. You know, it's still really hard to get dining reservations. So I think that... As long as we keep seeing dining reservations being as difficult as they are, you're not going to see the dining plan. So, you know, once the dining reservations start to open up a little more and you have more availability, then you might see it come back. That's why I'm going to say like 92%. I think that once they start getting the workforce in and they start opening up, you know, a few more restaurants, because there are still restaurants that are closed. I know Pam's beloved Flying Fish is still closed. Yeah. So
no.
Like there are, and of course, as we mentioned, ESPN. So like there are definitely still restaurants that are not open. So I think once they start opening those back up, I think we might see the dining plan. But until that point, I don't know, you know, just the restaurant availability is going to move this one way or another. So.
See, I'm going to go right between you guys. I'm going to go 90% that it'll be back. A little higher than Pam, a little lower than Ricky. And the reason being is, again, this past Sunday or Saturday night, we had a big night out. My wife and I, we went to Applebee's, fancy like, right?
Yeah.
And then we got two fajita roll ups at the bar because the wait. Oh, here's the whole story. You want to know the story? The wait was an hour to get a table at Applebee's. Okay.
Yeah.
Right across the street from us. Okay. Here's the deal. But there were seats at the bar. There was only two of us, so we sat at the bar. And the LSU Arkansas game was on, so I was in heaven. I got to watch football while I ate. But the thing was, we got in there. The restaurant's empty. Like 50% of the tables are empty. They didn't have enough servers. Like,
yeah.
They could have sat everybody. No problem. Like there were so many empty tables. They didn't have enough workers. And I think that's the only thing that's hampering the dining plan right now is the availability of people to serve and cook and all that, you know, the labor staff. So if they could get all the restaurants open back up, I'm kind of like, I don't know if I agree with exactly what Ricky's saying, because I think Disney wants that dining plan to come back ASAP, because I think one, guests love the dining plan. It is high satisfaction. Right. And Disney also knows when people buy the dining plan, kind of they know where they're going to eat, like what their dining schedule is going to be. You know, like they've locked in, they've committed. You know, what Disney wants is information.
And they get to pay it in advance.
Exactly. They get
right.
the money that you're, you know, 30 days in advance, you're full paid, it's all done. And plus, I mean, let's be honest, some people probably leave credits on the table. Our listeners don't.
Absolutely.
But some people probably do. And that's a win for Disney. You know, we don't do that. We make sure, if you're listening to this show, I guarantee you get all your money's worth. I'm just saying.
Yes. Yeah. And then some. But
you know, the average Joe might leave 3 snack credits.
Yeah,
I mean, that's, you know, $20 for Disney. They win. So, it's one of those things. Pam, so give final thoughts on this, though. But I just think that Disney wants us back as aggressively as they can. But I mean, there just have to be certain criteria that have to be met first.
I agree. I think it definitely has to do a lot with the workforce at this point, because they don't want to put people buying a plan and not having the space available. Unlike the folks who work with our agency, we remind you and remind you and remind you to make sure you're making dining arrangements. And even if you can't do that, but so many that don't work with, you know, us, or don't, you know, work with a travel agent at all, you're not getting reminders from Disney to make your dining reservations, right? And things like that. They're not, you know, doing it in that same way. And I think that at this point, it would be challenging because people would buy the dining plan. And then maybe if they weren't making those reservations in advance, yeah, there wouldn't be anything available. Yes. So that's a guest satisfaction nightmare. And I they don't want to see that, for sure. You know, so I think that that's what's delaying it. And regardless of how you feel about the leadership of the company or whatnot, I can tell you from the conversations that I have with those teams, you know, has a lot to do with thinking about the guest first. That weighs in every decision that I've had the experience to chat with them about. And I think that that's still what they're doing. So I think that that's where we are now. I think that's what they're waiting for. I really do.
Great. Lots of factors. But they do want it back. I mean, I just have a feeling they're trying.
For sure.
All right. Well, hey, we're going to continue this game Sunday night. Join us on Facebook and YouTube, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. You, me, and Scotty G will be taking your calls, talking about anything Disney, but this is one of the topics we can talk about. So join us for that. We love those live call-in shows. But don't forget, as always, today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. And one of the things Pam brought up is when you book a trip with the Magic for Less, when you book a Walt Disney World trip, a Disneyland trip, a Universal trip, what happens is we have a system. This system's very cool. It once you book your trip, we get everything into this system, and then you get these emails. It's certain trigger points, you know, a certain amount of days before your trip, and it says, hey, you know, Walt Disney World's got this cool place called Batu. It's Galaxy's Edge. When you're in there, you can build a lightsaber. You can build droids, and it gives you all the information, pictures. It tells you, you know, how to reserve that if you're interested in that. You know, again, like it tells you, it's almost time to make your ADRs. You better start thinking about your restaurants. Where do you want to eat? Or, you know, hey, think about those theme park reservations right away. You get these emails, and even if you're a veteran traveler like you probably are listening to our show, you probably know this information, but it's great to get reminders. And if anything, it gets you excited for your trip. I'll be honest. I book my own trips, and I have to put them in the system just so I can keep track of all the accounting for when I go down for, like, all my races. I get the reminder emails from myself, and I get excited. Like, I'm like, okay, that email's from me, but it's cool. Like, I know, it's like, I know I'm getting it, but it's awesome. So it's just one of those things that it's kind of a second set of eyes. And of course, we're there to get you the discounts when they come out. If you have a modification, trust me, these days, you'd rather me listen to the Hold Music than you. Trust me on that one. I have a very good relationship with the Hold Music lady at this point. So I'm just saying, there's a lot of good reasons to support a travel agency, and we'd love to help you out and get that best deal possible. And we always want you to have the best trip every single time. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. When you do that holiday shopping, that one extra click is really going to support us. So again, click through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, thank you to our patrons. You guys are awesome. Thanks for supporting everything we do. We couldn't do it without you. 2,000 shows. That is a testament to our listeners, to you guys taking the time to support the show, to listen to the show, to spread the word. Patreon, you guys are really helping us out, especially since the pandemic hit. So thank you so much for that. If you'd like to support us over there, just visit patreon.com/brguestpodcast. You can follow me on the social media, Instagram and Twitter at brguestmike. Pam's at tmfltpam. You can catch Ricky at Ricky Nibs. And of course, subscribe to the show on Facebook and YouTube. And if you wouldn't mind, like I said on Wednesday, wherever you download the show, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, if you wouldn't mind, this weekend, just a few minutes, leave a 5-star rating and a review. That would really help us out. And that would be a great way to kind of support us and celebrate 2,000 episodes. Not a lot of podcasts make it to 2,000. We're kind of excited for that. And it's because of you. It's because of all of us. It's not something we did. It's something we all did together, which I love that we got to hang together this long. All right, speaking of that, this is going a little bit too long, so we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your weekend. Until we talk again on Sunday night, you all stay safe, stay healthy. For Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. We'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.